Hello, and welcome to Monumental, where we sit down with entrepreneurs, leaders, visionaries, and big thinkers making monumental change. Here's your host, Evan Holiday.
All right, welcome back to Monumental, everybody. I am your host, Evan Holiday, and today on the show, we have Ben Azadi. Ben, great to have you on the show today. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic, and I'm excited to be here with you, Evan.
Yes, yes. So mutual friend Chris Rude connected us, and Ben is crushing it. We've been following each other for a little while on Facebook and Instagram, and he is a three-time best-selling author, a former obese man, and a national speaker. Ben specializes in the ketogenic diet and intermittent fasting. Ben is on a mission to educate 1 billion people on planet Earth. And I love that, Ben. That's amazing. 1 billion people. So with that awesome bio, let's just dive right into a little bit of your background and how you got to where you are today.
Absolutely. So I'm very much involved in the health space, but I was not somebody who was healthy for most of my life, Evan. I was actually obese for most of my life. I ate the standard American diet, which I also call the stupid American diet. And I did the best that I can with what I had. And my mom did too. My parents were immigrants from Iran from the 70s.
Wow.
And my mom came over here with my dad, and my mom worked 3 jobs. One of those jobs was a assistant manager at Kentucky Fried Chicken. So she would bring me home fried chicken every night, and I would eat that fried chicken every single night for years and years and years. And I hung out with the wrong crowd here in Miami Beach, and I would do drugs and video games, and I would play video games, and I also sold drugs as well. And I was just a very bad lifestyle in my teenage years, and it showed with my health. I was obese, both physically and mentally. I mean, the thoughts I used to think were very negative, self-limiting belief thoughts. And that transitioned into my adulthood, my early adulthood. So fast forward to when I was 24 years old, which was in 2008, I was going through a very difficult time in my life where I was rock bottom. Ex-girlfriend broke up with me. I was working at a packing and shipping store, and I weighed 80 pounds heavier than I do today. So I was obese, 34% body fat, dude. My size jeans and my waist was 38. I would wear size 38 pants. And
I can't even imagine that looking at you today.
I know. A lot of people who meet me recently, they can't imagine it. But those who grew up with me, they know it.
Yeah,
they know it.
Yeah.
I did carry it well, though, because I'm 6'2", so I'm tall. So I carried it well, and you couldn't really see how fat I was, but I was pretty fat and unhealthy. So I was rock bottom to a point where I was actually depressed. I was depressed. I was just going nowhere fast. I was tiptoeing my way through life, just hoping to make it safely to death. And I had a decision to make. Am I going to keep digging this hole into the ground, or am I going to get out of this hole?
Yeah.
So I used rock bottom as a platform to launch myself out of that space into the zip code of greatness, is what I call it. And how that started was with books. Books like you see behind me. I started reading books. I started reading authors like Bob Proctor and Wayne Dyer, and eventually guys like Grant Cardone, but not back then. And it opened up a whole new world to me. And I started to see that I'm in control here. And it's not any circumstance outside of me. It's actually what's going on inside of me. So you fast forward from that decision that I decided to take control over my health, because without my health, I have nothing. It starts with your health. Fast forward 9 months from that decision, I lost 80 pounds. I went from 34% body fat to 6% body fat. I finally carved out a six pack for the first time in my life. But more importantly, dude, I carved out a mental six pack. I was starting to think differently. I became an entrepreneur. I started my first business. And that's where it got me, where I got started into the health space. That was 11 years ago. And I've been committed to studying this stuff every day. I study on average 3 hours every day for over 10 years. And I don't say that to impress anybody, but I say to impress upon people that I've done a lot of research. I love this stuff. I love it. And that's why I'm so excited to share more with you on this podcast. So that's in a nutshell where I came from.
That's amazing. I love that. And I love how it started with books. You hit rock bottom and you're like, man, I need a way out of here. And books provide a lot of answers, and they provide a lot of experiences and stories from people that have experienced before us. Right. And I think, you know, that's so powerful that you just dove into books and really went all in on your health and your your personal happiness. And I love how you said, you're like, I got a mental six pack. That's so true. I mean, that is the most powerful six pack you can have.
100%. I'd take that over a physical six pack any day, Evan. And books changed my, the books saved my life. That you, like you said, you're standing on the shoulders of giants, people who have done things that you want to do. You use their inspiration. You use what they learned for mistakes that they made, and you don't make those same mistakes. It was so bad for me. I was actually suicidal, if I'm going to be transparent with you. I was actually on Google looking for ways to kill myself before I started reading books. And you would never get that from me now. I'm such an optimistic person with a great attitude, but that's just the power of books. And I know that your listeners are probably listening to books and reading books because that's going to get you results in life. And it's gotten me amazing results.
Yeah, I love that. And so take us back. How did you fight through that? I mean, that is a low point in your life where, you know, if you're Googling that, how to kill yourself, I mean, that is very low. How did you determine yourself to get through that?
What stopped me was my mom. She didn't know I was doing that, but I would think about her every time I did it and what I would leave for her. And I love my mom. She's done so much for me. And I just imagined her life and all that depression and stress or whatever sadness I would leave for her if I took my life, and it stopped me in my tracks. If I didn't have my mom, I would have probably ended my life, because every time I was alone back then in a room, I would think about ways to hurt myself. I just didn't want to live. I was lost. I didn't have a purpose. I didn't have an entrepreneurial mindset. I didn't have anything going for me. Like I said, I was just, if my heart would have stopped beating at the age of 24, dude, it would have just been a mere formality. Just call it as it is, because I was alive in the definition of being alive, but I was not alive. I was not living a life true to my highest values. I was not making an impact. So I had to do something. And the books is what saved my life, because it helped me realize, Evan, that I was put in the dirt there, not because I was buried, but because I was being planted and it was time for me to bloom. Okay. I had to get broken and I had to go through that pain so my purpose could get revealed to me. And that's exactly what happened with me. So if somebody's going through something difficult right now, it's for a reason. It's part of your story. You just got to keep pushing forward.
Yeah, that is powerful. And I can hear the Wayne Dyer coming out in the way you're describing it. I mean, that is very powerful. And Wayne Dyer played a role in my life as well. You know, it's something that, you know, he helped shape the way I think, the way I model the world. And it's so powerful because his words are, it seems like they're very enlightened. And that's the power of reading, right?
So yes, so powerful. From the right resources. So Wayne Dyer, oh my gosh, that's definitely a resource. If somebody has not checked them out before, he's passed on, at least his physical body is now, but what an amazing guy, right? I didn't know that we had that similarity. I love that, Evan.
Yeah. So I had started reading a book after recommendation, and I'd been reading it while my mom was going through cancer, and found out, you know, I was 3/4 of the way through the book. And I told my mom, I was like, this book's amazing, mom. You got to read it. It's awesome. It's really just changing the way I see the world. She's like, oh, she's like, Wayne Dyer is one of my favorite authors, one of my favorite people in the world. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. I'm reading this right now. And it just helped me get through that tough time as well.
Yeah. It's his work transcends time, and he's done it for a very long time. That's really cool. That's really cool. Can I ask how's your mom doing? Is she still around?
She passed away not too long after that.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Sorry
about that.
It's one of those things that, you know, it's so tough, and, you know, I wish it could go another way, but I learned so much from that, and I'm such a bigger, better person because of it. And I've learned to value and treasure everything in life because of it. So, you know, it's like looking at the glass half full and saying that, you know, my mom was here for a purpose and she served her purpose. And through her passing away, it taught me so much and helped me learn how to value my family and value my time.
It's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah. So I love Wayne Dyer, and I could not agree more that books are so powerful, which is why I'm just like you. Like I've been devoted to learning and reading and consuming everything that I think will help me take it to the next level.
Yeah, it's so powerful. It's that, not just the knowledge, but the applied knowledge that we get the power. And I've seen that with you. I've seen that with just the growth that I've seen after I've been watching you for a few months. And it's obvious that you're somebody who is very much self-developing. And I know all your listeners are as well. So right on, 100%.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. And so let's dive into, you said you do 3 hours a day. What is that like? What does that entail?
Yeah, I it's a combination of things. It's a podcast, right? It's a podcast like yours. It's a podcast from other resources that I like to enjoy listening to. My car, I don't listen to music. I listen to podcasts. It's a vehicle for education. You'd rarely find me listening to music. The only time you'll see me, the only time I listen to music is when I'm working out. To get some of those endorphins. So when I'm working out, music, but when I'm driving, it's podcasts, it's an audiobook, it's Wayne Dyer's Ultimate Library on Audible, which is so freaking fantastic, by the way.
Yeah.
It's when I'm walking my dog, I'm listening, I'm reading a book, I'm watching a YouTube video. So it's my whole life. I'm winding down for bed, and I'm reading guys like Joseph Murphy, The Power of the Subconscious Mind, Think and Grow Rich. So it's just my entire life. And it doesn't feel like a chore. It's actually something I want to do. Honestly, my girlfriend gets on my case because she wants to go out sometime. And I'm like, let's just read a book. Or she wants to watch a Netflix episode. I'm like, let's go watch this video on YouTube from Grant Cardone. So
exactly.
It's kind of it's enjoyable. And I can see that you could relate to that. You're smiling.
I feel your energy, and I completely resonate with it because it's, you know, I love just learning. It's addicting. And I think that's what it takes is like you said, it's like learning with action, learning with execution, and being able to take what you're learning and being able to put it into your life and implement it is so powerful.
It's connecting those dots. It's there's so many dots out there, and when we start connecting it, it's exciting because you get results and you make an impact, and that's what it's about.
Yeah. So how have you been able to make an impact and help others on their journey towards living a healthier life?
Yeah, so I've done it with my books. You mentioned in the beginning, I have three books that I have out there on Amazon. If somebody wants to check them out, just type my name, Ben Azadi, on Amazon. I do it with books, podcasts, my YouTube videos. I do it in massive action. You know, I'm just committed to getting this information out there. I'm very consistent with my content. I see it as a duty and a responsibility and an obligation to get this information out there. So my life is pretty much learning and sharing on a daily basis. And I do that with live talks. I do it in person. I do it however I can do. If somebody wants to listen to me talk about keto and fasting or whatever it is, I'm going to talk about it because I know it's made a big difference in my life. And I've seen it make a big difference in so many people's lives. And let's be honest, dude, if we went on Dr. Google and we did a search on what's the healthiest diet or what's the best way to do this, massive confusion. You're just going to be in total different directions there. And I've been that way for years, and I've learned the mistakes of counting calories. I've learned the mistakes of just doing things the wrong way. So my job now, my responsibility is to cut through all that noise in the health space and curate that information based off of what I think is the truth, what I've seen work, to give it to you so you could take it and take action with it and it'll change your life. So that's how I've been doing it. I take massive action every day.
Yes, I love that. That's the 10X mentality of just, you know, if you have a goal, don't just do little steps, just freaking go all in and know that you have a duty and a responsibility to share your journey and share what you're learning, exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, something that's so underrated is that, and I'm sure you could relate to this, when you start learning something and then you share it with somebody, you learn it more. You get more from it. And you share it with 10 people, it's like hearing that 10 times. So it's actually a selfish thing to share it because you're learning more of it. You're absorbing more of it. You do it with your podcast all the time. When you're sharing things over and over, you're getting more of that information. It's getting implanted into your subconscious mind. So you're actually benefiting from it as well.
Yeah, no, couldn't agree more. So let's dive into keto and fasting. Let's give the listeners a high level, and then let's dive into the details.
Yeah, so I'm an entrepreneur, and I know a lot of your listeners and viewers are also entrepreneurs. So I'm all about biohacking. I'm all about getting twice the results in half the time. I'm not going to tell you to do all this meal planning, to work out 3 hours a day, and I'm not about that, so I'm not going to teach you how to do that. So I'm all about cheating the system in a way and getting the results you want. So keto is a powerful way, not just for weight loss. It's not even about the weight loss. It's about what it does to your body at a cellular level. Okay, so let's talk about that. We're made up of trillions of cells, 70 trillion cells. Our cells could only choose two sources of fuel. Either we're burning sugar or we're burning fat. That's it. 90% of Americans are sugar burners. Okay, and I'm gonna explain what that means. When I was a sugar burner, I was obese. I had terrible fluctuating energy levels. I had to have a snack every 2 to 3 hours. Otherwise, I would have to take a nap or I would get cravings. So when you're burning sugar as your primary fuel source, that's a toxic fuel source to your cells. I'm going to compare that to a diesel truck that's speeding through the highway. This diesel truck has a bunch of toxic smoke coming out of its exhaust pipe, and it's not healthy for the environment. That's what's happening in your cells when you're burning glucose, sugar, for fuel. Now, when you make the transition and you transition to burning fat and producing ketones, that's like Elon Musk Tesla, right? Clean energy, beautiful vehicle, no smoke coming out of its exhaust pipe, and it's healthier for the environment. So that's what it's about. It's about teaching your cells to transition and burn fat. And when you do that, you bring down inflammation. So guess what? You live a longer life. I believe we were designed to live to at least 120 years old, disease-free, at a high quality of life. Can you imagine that for a second? Just imagine what your life would look like if you're 120 years old, you have your kids, you have your business that you made an impact, you have all these apartment units, you have all these buildings that are just cash flowing and you're donating to your charities, and you see all of that at 120 years old. I mean, what kind of impact can you make and see at that? That's amazing. And we've been designed to do so, right? So that's what I teach. I teach all of my clients that I work one-on-one with that are entrepreneurs, real estate investors. I teach them how to do that. I teach them some simple tips that I'll share in a little bit on how you could just make that transition. And keto is a powerful way to do it. A lot of people are going to hear about keto and think that it's a fad, it's a trend. And I want to just let you understand that keto has been around for millions of years. It's been around since the beginning of time. It's not a fad. Just because it's trending doesn't make it a fad. It's actually a fact. It's been around forever. The true fad is the stupid American diet. That's only been around for 50, 60 years. Okay, that is the true trending diet. That is not the way we were designed to eat. So keto has been around for a long time. Now, the way I teach keto is not to stay in ketosis, Evan. I don't teach somebody to stay in keto and be keto all the time. I'm not dogmatic. I use it as a way to reset the body's metabolism, and then you use it as a tool to flex in and out. And that's, in a nutshell, how I teach it.
So what is the best way to get started in keto?
Yeah, great question. The best way is to just start looking at what you're eating and do a little audit for a day. And replace most of your carbohydrates that you're eating with healthy fats and protein. So what are healthy fats? Avocados, pastured eggs, wild caught fish, 100% grass-fed beef, nuts and seeds, olive oil, coconut oil, MCT oil, grass-fed butter, grass-fed ghee, and a whole bunch of green leafy vegetables. Even bacon. You can even have organic pastured bacon and organic chicken. Like, that should be the bulk of what you're eating, and less of the carbohydrates. Even if it's whole grain, even if it's wheat bread, a lot of people think wheat bread is healthy. They don't know this. I'm going to shock a lot of people when I say this. Two slices of wheat bread is equal to 12 ounces of Coca-Cola when it comes to the blood sugar spike. Okay, wow. So wheat bread is not healthy. So you want to first just eat more healthy fats, eat more protein, eat until full, eat less carbohydrates, and stop snacking in between your meals, because when you snack, you're aging yourself faster. If you want to age fast, eat every 2 to 3 hours. So I recommend eating breakfast, lunch, dinner, eating more fat, eating more protein, eating less carbohydrates, and in a few weeks, you're going to be producing ketones. And guess what? When you produce ketones, it fuels your brain 3 times more efficiently than glucose, meaning you're sharper. You're able to handle things much more efficiently, have creative ideas much more efficiently. But when you're burning sugar, you don't get that benefit. So we talk about Chris Rood at the beginning of this podcast, and thank you, Chris, for introducing me to Evan. Chris Rood is a major player in the real estate game, and he does keto and fasting because he feels like a rock star. He feels mentally sharp, on top of his game, and that's what it feels like. And I could attest to that, because it feels like you have superpowers. So you just want to do an audit and eat more of those healthy keto-friendly foods.
I love it. So really looking at what you're eating right now already, and then take an audit and see, okay, take out carbs, as many carbs as you can, because they have that same effect on your blood sugar level as a Coke does. That's mind-blowing to me, and I think that's good for listeners to know. And that's something I've been trying to do already, is take out as many or all carbs at all costs, really, because I know it also has that inflammatory effect on your body, and it's really not good at all for every part of your body.
Yeah, it's not. And you want to go slow. If you're a pure sugar burner right now and you're eating a lot of carbohydrates, then make the transition very slowly. If you do it too fast, too soon, you might get some carbohydrate withdrawal symptoms, which is also called keto flu. So make it a little bit gradually, get into keto by just eating more fats, less carbs, slowly. You know, just if your balance is right here with carbs to fat, and you can't see me, but I have one hand up, one hand low. You just want to reverse that trend, but slowly. Every day you just do a little bit better and a little bit better, and eventually you'll be in ketosis. But if you go too fast, too soon, it might cause some symptoms.
So what is the definition of ketosis? Is that when you're fully burning fats only?
Yeah, the definition of a ketosis is just when you have burned through your sugar reserves. So you store about 2,000 calories of sugar in your liver and muscle. And once you start eating high fat, low carb, your body starts burning through its sugar reserves, its glycogen reserves, which is what we want to do. And then it starts burning its own body fat, and the liver produces ketones to fuel the brain, because the brain can't use regular body fat for to function. It needs to actually use something else. So the liver produces ketones to fuel the brain. Here's an interesting fact, Evan. When you were a baby, when I was a baby, when everybody was a baby, if they were breastfed, that baby was in ketosis, because breast milk has saturated fat, it has cholesterol, and it is loaded with fats. And that baby is actually producing ketones because the brain is 60% fat. And ketones help the development of that brain. In fact, 25% of the body's cholesterol is found in the brain. Fat is so important. And I didn't mention this. The reason keto is so powerful for our cells is because our cells are made up of fat. The cell membrane is made up of protein, saturated fat, and cholesterol. That is a fact right there, and that's why our body loves fat. You were a fat burner when you were a baby. Now it's just getting back to our natural state here.
So have you read The Brain Game?
No.
Oh, I highly recommend it. I just recently finished that. But it talks a lot about how very similar, where it everything that every experience in your life, down to like, were you breastfed or not, or did you have formula, or you know, was it C-section or vaginal delivery, that has an effect on your bacteria that rests in your microbiome in your gut. And that has an effect on everything else. And that can cause less inflation or more inflation just based on those certain things that happen throughout your life. But I highly recommend that book. Little off subject, but really, really enjoyed it, just as far as like helps you realize like every single decision that we make about our body, it really comes back to affect us in one way or another. So we have to be conscious about the decisions we make. Like you said, from the food that we eat, from fat versus sugar, and how even like wheat bread is the equivalent of a Coke. We need to be constantly learning about that, or else we're going to make the wrong decisions.
Yeah, exactly. It's first having that awareness and then making the right decision. I haven't read that book, but it's definitely a correlation between if you were born C-section or not. I know that people who were born vaginally and not C-section, and those who were also breastfed the longest, meaning at least 3 years, are healthier people as they are adults, because that's actually the way we're designed to be. But those who are born C-section, they usually have more gut issues because their gut microbiome has changed. So they have less of the healthy bacteria and they have more of the bad bacteria. So that's very interesting. I'm going to check out the book.
Yeah. And you know, I really love diving into this stuff, because I felt like I was a semi-healthy person. You know, I was healthy in spurts more or less, but I was never consistent about it. And I think maybe that's something a lot of people struggle with, is, you know, they start a diet for a week or maybe a few days, and then they're like, burn out on this, or they forget one day and they're like, I'll start over next week. And it's that, like, without having consistency, you're not going to see the growth that you need on your health, that in turn affects your business, affects your life, affects your happiness, your family. It has this ripple effect. So how do you help people get through that adversity when it comes to consistency?
Yeah, you got to get really clear on your why. Why do you want to be healthy? Like, what would it mean for you? First of all, where is it showing up right now? What are your major complaints? And then tie that to where it's really showing up right now. So for instance, let's say you are financially free, which a lot of us, that's our goal, right? We want to be financially free. But you go on a 30-day trip to Europe with your family and you're hurting all the time. your energy levels are just crap. You're complaining and you're not enjoying your family. Your family's not enjoying you. So where is that showing up? Get really clear on how it's affecting not just you, but your relationships. And then get clear on what's your highest values. Is it your highest values to have energy for your family, to be here for 120 years? So get clear on that, because once you start making this transition and it's going to suck, here's the formula that I tell people. You got to embrace the suck. So it's suck, 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 cess. Okay? Embrace the suck and just keep going forward. As long as you're clear on your why, then anything that sucks, you're just going to understand that it's part of the journey, and discipline equals freedom. I have a shirt that says that, Jocko Willick, discipline equals freedom. And have a coach is always good to have, somebody who's guiding you if that's something that you feel like you need. But get clear on your why, and if you're clear on your why, then you could do anything you want to do.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I think when I became very clear and I consciously put time and effort and energy to discovering and focusing on my why, that's when everything changed for me. And that's when things started taking off, and you see a massive difference too. And you also understand, like you said, I love that, like, suck, 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 success.
Yeah.
Like, that's huge, man. I mean, that's what it takes, is like dealing with crappy moments, dealing with crappy people, dealing with, you know, sometimes you just feel like things aren't going your way, but knowing that if you just keep pushing for it and know your why, then you're going to get out on the other side and you're going to be a lot happier for it.
Exactly. And that reminds me of, I don't know if you're familiar with his work with Dr. John DeMartini. He has the values factor. It's a great book if you want to get clear on your values. I highly recommend that book. And I also want to share some hacks for entrepreneurs that they can start doing, even if they're not keto, but it'll help them have more energy. Are you good with that? Can I share those,
Evan? Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so number one, I always tell my clients, if you're going to have a big meal, whether it has a lot of carbs or not, if you're going to have a big meal, to avoid that blood sugar spike from the meal that results in like a food coma and you're just exhausted for the rest of the day, there's two things you can do, and they're free. 40 squats before a meal, okay? 40 squats before a meal. And if you have knee issues, you could just sit down to a chair and stand up 40 times. This is what it does when you do that. You activate something called the GLUT4 transporter, which takes that blood sugar from spiking, and GLUT4 transporter actually takes some of that blood sugar and packs it into your muscle cells. So you don't store it as fat, that doesn't spike as high, you don't get that crash. Because when blood sugar goes up, it comes back down, and your energy levels come back down with it. So you have stable blood sugar when you do that. So 40 squats before the meal, and then when you're done with the meal, go for a 20-minute walk. Let that food digest. As you walk, that also helps with blood sugar. And the more you can manage blood sugar, the longer you're going to live. The more you spike blood sugar, the more sporadic it is, blood sugar and insulin, the faster you age. So not only is this a great way for energy, to have better energy, but it's also a great way to extend your life. So that's one hack right there. Second thing is, if you're a coffee drinker, are you a coffee drinker, Evan?
Yep.
Do you know my coffee hack or no?
No, I don't.
Oh, you're going to love this one. I'm a coffee snob for sure. I love my coffee. If you were to wait 90 minutes after you wake up to have your coffee, you're going to get much, much more from that caffeine. And I'm going to explain why. When we wake up in the morning, we are activating the hormone cortisol. Cortisol is the fight or flight hormone. It's a very powerful hormone that gives us energy. So it's already elevated in the morning once we wake up. It's the way we're designed to be. Our hormones are just synced up that way. Cortisol is much more powerful than the caffeine in your cup of coffee. Meaning, if you were to have your coffee first thing in the morning, caffeine is not going to stand a chance to cortisol. Cortisol is going to overpower that caffeine. That caffeine is going to be pretty much rendered useless. But the hack is, if you wait an hour and a half after you wake up to then have your cup of coffee, cortisol is already dropping down. This happens naturally. Then you have your coffee. It's going to help bind together and give you longer energy levels, more sustainable energy levels for the rest of the day. So you're not getting that afternoon crash and you're not reaching for that third or fourth cup of coffee. So that 90-minute hack, huge for somebody who drinks coffee.
Love it.
And it might be difficult for you to wait, but it's definitely worth it.
Yeah. And I love that, like, managing your blood sugar and making sure there isn't any spikes can really help the longevity of your life. And honestly, what you're saying is, it doesn't sound that hard to implement. It's just doing a couple squats beforehand and going for a walk afterward. I think that should be you know, normal practice anyways, just to have that movement and avoid that blood sugar spike.
Exactly. And when you're going for your walk, you could either do it a silent walk and just be with nature, or you could be working. You could be on a call. Hopefully you don't have the phone to your head, by the way. Hopefully you're on speakerphone or with headsets, but you could be on a sales call and you can be making deals. You can be doing whatever you want and you're still getting the benefit of that. So there's ways to biohack the system here.
So go into that real quick about cell phones, because I've read that, I think it was anti-cancer talks about that, but what are your thoughts on cell phones?
Man, I have a lot of thoughts on it, and people might think I'm a little woo-woo with this, but it's just not smart to put your cell phone to your head. It's not wise. If you ever did, there's something called EMFs, which stands for electromagnetic frequencies, and it's been shown through research that EMFs at a high level, too close to the body, create inflammation and cancer cell growth. Okay? So I'll give you an example. I was actually perfect because you live in Nashville. I was in Nashville a few months ago at a health conference, and there were 6 or 7 of the top cancer doctors in the world there. And they were all sharing amazing information. I know this is very relevant to you because your mom passed from cancer. They were sharing every single doctor had the same tip and the same thing that they see. And their biggest concern when it comes to cancer is EMFs. People putting their cell phone to their head. And one of the doctors, Dr. Lee Connolly, she's a brilliant oncologist, Dr. Lee Connolly, she said when she started her practice in the 1970s, or it might have been the 1980s, there is a type of cancer called glioblastoma, which is brain cancer. And she said the only people that would come into her clinic with glioblastoma were executive males in their 60s and 70s because they had their big phones power to their head.
Yeah.
She said now she gets 20-year-olds, teenagers, women, men and women with that same glioblastoma every single week.
Wow.
Because everybody is putting their cell phones to their head for hours a day. So if you could just get into the habit of putting your phone on speakerphone or using headsets, me and Evan are wearing headsets right now, it'll go a long way because these are all drops in your bucket. Okay, that's the way I look at health here. So if you look at your body, you're born with an empty bucket. But as you have all these stressors, the bucket starts to fill and fill and fill. And as that bucket gets full, you get symptoms. And if you don't do something about it then, it continues to get full. And then what happens? The bucket overflows and then you're diagnosed with something that's very, very serious. So what we're talking about here are just emptying out the bucket. So just by using the speakerphone or headset, it's a way to reduce that load on your body.
Yeah, no, I was saying earlier, I've heard that before. I think it's very true. And I think what he said in Anti-Cancer, the book that I read, he had said that there just hasn't been enough studies to verify this yet because the lifetime of a cell phone has only been around for like 20 years. Yeah. And so they haven't even had time to study the long-term effects of having a cell phone next to your head for hours on end. But there has been, like you said, multiple doctors proclaiming that, you know, this has massive effects, negative effects. So what about Bluetooth headphones? Because I know a lot of people use those.
Great. I was actually speaking about that. AirPods and Bluetooth headsets, this is going to upset a lot of people, but it's an issue. It's a big issue. My mentor, Dr. Pompa, he just did a Facebook Live actually this week with his son's friend who wore those AirPods in his house all the time. So he has an EMF meter. And he wanted to show everybody what these AirPods are doing. So he wore the Apple AirPods and he brought the EMF meter and he tested the AirPods while he was listening to audio. And it showed 2.5, 3.0 on the scale. And anything at 0.5 and above creates inflammation in the cells. And these AirPods were at over 2. Okay. So they're an issue. And I used to actually wear these AirPods when over a year ago, I used to wear them all the time when I used to. Like you walk them with my dog and exercise. Yeah. And then I started thinking about maybe I shouldn't do that. And I stopped. And I advise anybody to limit it or stop it and just use, you know, wired headsets, even though they're annoying. But I definitely recommend it. It goes a long way.
Because wired does not have the EMF.
Wired does not have as much. I use, and I don't have them in front of me, I use these headsets that are, they have something at the midway point here between the headsets and where it plugs in, where it blocks the EMF so it doesn't come here. So they're called, they're by Defense Shield. They're Defense Shield headsets on Amazon. So I wear those. They have pretty much no EMFs, but even if you're just using regular headsets like you have on right now, it's still not to the point where it's above that 0.5 level. So it's not as dangerous, but you could do a little bit better by using those Defense Shield headsets. Yeah, so there's different layers of it.
That's wild. You know, I thought about that, and my girlfriend and I, Jeanette, we've talked about that, about even Bluetooth may not be that great. But I've honestly used AirPods up until right now because I ran out of battery. So yeah.
Perfect. I would have called you out on it.
yeah. That's crazy.
I did too, Evan. I did too. So if you're listening to this, it's just a wake up call. You know, if you have your kids using your AirPods, please, you know, I can't tell you how to run your family, but this is just data that's important to you. And something else that's a very easy thing to do in your household, everybody has a Wi-Fi router. So here's something you can do that makes a big difference. Before you go to bed, just turn off your router. You're not going to be using it. Your family doesn't need the Wi-Fi. You don't need that Wi-Fi. Keep it far away as possible from the bedroom and then turn off that Wi-Fi router. Put your phone on airplane mode. If you're not going to use it, there's no need to have that signal running through the night while you're sleeping. So that makes a big difference as well.
Yeah. That's interesting. We have been doing that a little bit at our house. So
good.
So I'm glad we're talking about all these things, because just to bring it back to our listeners is, you know, the true importance of all this is not only just to live your best life, you know, and live a long life and a happy life and a fruitful life, but also even look at it from the impact that you can have on the world and the monumental impact that you can have. But you can only have that impact if you are healthy and can live a long, fruitful life. Because if you aren't healthy, then you're not going to be impacting others. You're not going to be making monumental change in the world. And so I think that's really like the overarching theme of today's talk, is that, you know, if you're not healthy, then you're not performing your best, you're not on your A game, and then you can't have that massive impact for others. So you're letting those other people down because you're not on your A game as far as health and happiness.
Yeah, Evan, 100%. If you're not healthy, you're selfish straight up, because not only are you hurting yourself, but you're everybody that is that knows you, everybody that you have a relationship with, they don't get your truest version and they're suffering too. And what happens if you get sick? So for me, I lost my dad 6 years ago through diabetes and a stroke. When he got the stroke, who had to take care of him? His family, okay?
Yeah.
So if you get sick, who has to take care of you? Your family. So it's very unselfish. If you don't prioritize your health now, you're going to be forced to prioritize it later.
Yeah.
And Einstein said it best. Intellectuals solve problems. Geniuses prevent them. What we're talking about here is becoming a genius, becoming proactive, not reactive, so you can make a big impact on planet Earth with your work, with your family, with what you want to create on this amazing planet. And it starts with your health. Your health is your true wealth. It pays the best dividends. And if you don't have your health, then you don't have nothing, because you can have $1 billion in your bank account, but if you don't have the money, if you don't have the energy to enjoy that money, what is it? What's the worth of that? It's not worth it. So prioritize your health is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, your health is priceless. I love it. Well, last question I want to ask before we jump into monumental questions. I love that you said 120. So I have to ask, how old do you want to live?
I want to live to at least 120. But when I say 120, I'm not talking about like America keeping people alive through drugs. I'm talking about being able to like do my 40 squats before I meet at 120, like being alive and alert. So I'd be happy with 120.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, something I've never shared this before besides my coach and my girlfriend, but I saw an interview with Robin Sharma on Tom Bilyeu's show. And he said, you know, I've been the same kind of mantra you have, where it's like, hey, if we treat our body right, I can live a lot longer than the average person. And I was thinking like early hundreds, and then I heard Robin Sharma say, "Oh, I'm going to live to 174." I was like, "Oh, damn! I want to join Robin Sharma. I'm going up to 174." So my goal is 174. And really, the biggest thing is just so I can have more impact on the world.
Exactly. I love that. I didn't know that Robin Sharma wants to live to 174. That's great.
Yeah.
I know Dave Asprey has a goal, that the Bulletproof Executive, Dave Asprey has a goal of living around 170 as well. That's awesome. And Tom Bilyeu. Tom Bilyeu is great, by the way. I love his work.
Yeah. Let's jump into our monumental questions.
Let's
what
do
does
it.
Success mean to you?
My favorite definition of success is from Earl Nightingale, which he said, success is the realization of a worthy ideal. So what is an ideal? An ideal is an idea that you fall in love with. So that means to me, having a goal that you have fallen in love with, and every single day you are in pursuit of that goal, that's my definition of success. And once you stop pursuing that goal, you are no longer successful.
Yeah, I love that. Is that Strange's Secret?
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I can tell. I can just feel like you're very well read, just like you said. I mean, you're just able to you have all this knowledge to pull from. I think that's powerful.
Thank you, Evan.
So do you have any daily habits or morning rituals?
Absolutely. I protect my morning like it is one of the most important parts of my day, because it's a very important part of the day, because the subconscious mind is very impressionable. So I used to have the habit of waking up and checking my Instagram and Facebook and my social media and my text messages several years ago. And I realized that it was not serving my day. And it was kind of like playing Russian roulette, because I would look at my phone and in one morning I would see something great, a great comment on Facebook, a bunch of comments and a nice text. And then the next morning I'd see a negative comment or a problem I had to solve, and I'm immediately in scramble mode. So I protect my morning, and my phone is not turned on at least an hour until after I wake up. I don't even look at my phone, and I only look at it to check my sleep score. But I don't look at any text. I don't look at anything. And I write down my gratitude. I write down 10 things I'm grateful for every single morning. And I've done that for years. I haven't missed a morning or a night. I write down my goals, and I learned that from Grant Cardone several years ago. I feed my beast. I write down my goals in present tense. And then I go for a 15 to 20 minute walk with my dog, and I do affirmations in my head as I'm walking. And I walk down to Biscayne Bay here in Miami, and I do some Tony Robbins priming, where I'm just moving my arms around, moving the wind around while I do more affirmations. I say things like, I am a genius, and I apply my wisdom, different affirmations that I've created for myself. And then I'm done with my morning routine, and then I start turning on my phone, looking at my email, getting into my routine. But that's an hour into it, and I do that every single morning, and it's very similar at night too.
That's awesome, man. I think that's powerful, and that's something I'll probably work into my routine too, is turning off the phone, because I think, you know, I have the mindset of, you know, hey, you know, I'm not going to look at my phone for the first hour or two that I'm up. But I inevitably at some point will turn over and look at it and then catch myself and turn it off. But it's like even that subconscious turning it on, it's like it's better to just take away the distraction, take away the option.
Yeah, I mean, powerful. It does. It makes a big difference for me. I think it'll make a big difference for you as well, and anybody listening to this.
I love it. What is your favorite book or book you're currently reading?
I don't know if I have a favorite book. It's so hard, right? Yeah. The book I'm currently reading is not necessarily a book. It's on Audible, but it's a seminar from the 70s from Bob Proctor, You Were Born Rich. And I'm listening to it now for the 22nd time in a row. That's the one that I just listened to over and over. I do love Bob Proctor's work. So anything from Bob Proctor, anything from Wayne Dyer, I know you asked for one, but anything from Bob Proctor, yeah. Wayne Dyer. And I really like Be Obsessed or Be Average by Grant Cardone. I've actually listened to that book 30 times, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah. And
that's obsessed.
Exactly. The chapter he has on there about persistence, I think it's chapter 8. I should know this by already, but I listened to it, so I don't actually read the chapters. But The chapter on being persistent alone is one of the greatest chapters that was ever written, in my opinion, because he shares all the struggles he went through when he was building this 10X empire, yeah, and what he did to just persistently continue. Because if you feel like quitting, listen to that chapter, read that chapter, and you're not going to quit. You're going to keep pushing forward. And he helped me realize, that chapter helped me realize that failure is a myth and it's only real once you give up. So I would highly recommend that book and that chapter.
I love it, man. I love how you're giving out specific chapters. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, Ben, I honestly can say I learned a lot today. This is an amazing episode for our Monumental listeners. I think they're going to get a lot of value out of it and really, really be able to dive into their own health, you know, how they're treating their health as a way to live a longer, better, more impactful life. And thank you again for being on the show.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I love what you're doing, Evan, as well. So I acknowledge you and the community you're building and your consistency. And I'm a really a big fan of your work, and I look forward to some more collaboration. So thank you, brother.
Yes, I love it. Thank you. So quickly tell them a little bit about Keto Camp. We didn't touch on it, but I want to just let our listeners know about your podcast as well.
Yeah, totally. So Keto Camp is my brand, and you're going to see it sooner than later if you haven't seen it already. I have my Keto Camp podcast, which I just launched 30 days ago, and it's really taken off. It's gotten a lot of downloads, and it hit number 13 in the alternative health space in the U.S., which is great. So definitely listen to that podcast, subscribe to it, and my YouTube channel as well, youtube.com/KetoCamp. And keep in mind, camp is spelled with a K, so Keto Camp on YouTube. And if you want to get more information on keto and fasting and all of these entrepreneur longevity hacks, then definitely check out my work.
Yes, and where can they find you on social media?
Social media, you can just look up Ben Azadi on Facebook. And on Instagram, it's @TheBenAzadi as well. And then lastly, I did write a 12-page ebook about keto and fasting, and you can get it for free at www.ketokickstartguide.com.
Boom. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Ben. Again, this is amazing. And guys, if you enjoyed this episode, tag Ben, share it on social media, tag me, let us know you're listening. And with that, have a monumental day.